howdy, y'all. Welcome to Thought Crime Live. You're listening to Thought Crime Live on republicbroadcasting.org. Today is the 22nd of October, 10/22/22. I guess that makes it Ruger Day. If you're a gun person, you probably caught that, not just being silly, but I'm really pleased to be here and honored to be here on RBN and Mr. Stadmiller's neighborhood, I often call it. And I wanted to start out today just to ask everyone if you're a supporter of RBN, if you enjoy the content, if you like my show, The Farrens Before Me, Beyond the Official Narrative with Richard Carey, all the different things that RBN has to offer, please help support RBN. They've taken a big hit with trying to fix their HVAC unit. And you know, in Texas, listen, HVAC is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And so as RBN would love to have your one-time donation, but if you can help every month, that would help even more. And just if you're able to do that, I wanted to start off with that today, that free speech just cannot exist without being funded by we the people. So please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. I mean, where else can you hear the unfiltered truth as it's presented? At very few places. And if you are able to do that, please call RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call it at 800-724-2719, extension 3, and they'll be glad to take your donation there. And if you want to remain anonymous in this doxing world where, you know, fault is a crime and truth is a terrorism, then you can just mail in your donation of a cash check or a money order, made payable to RBN. The mailing address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And I'll give those numbers and address one more time. That's 800-724-2719, extension 3, to donate by credit or debit card, or mail your donation to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Also, if you go to the website, there's a yellow donate button. You can smash that too on republicbroadcasting.org. And I also would recommend that happy hemp paste, because the endocannabinoid system is really a thing. CBD does work. So we really appreciate it, folks. RBN puts up with me, and they put out uncensored content trying to carry on Mr. Stadmiller's vision, and I'm proud to be part of it. So, okay, for enough for that, and I wanted to start off with that today. And by way of, before I even introduce my guest, I wanted to read a blog that's called Identity Dixie. This is at identitydixie.com. And it's titled, Let's Celebrate Dixie. Being Southern is a good thing. 40 years ago, I put together a book called Why the South Will Survive, with optimistic contributions by 15 writers about the resilience that still existed in our homeland and the positive things it could contribute to the American business. None of us could have imagined how fast and how far the Yankee Empire, of which the Southern people were the first victims, would descend into its present decaying condition. We have long been the red-headed stepchild of the U.S., but now we have not only been disinherited completely, but we are targeted for extinction. Of course, the destruction of Southern memory and culture is destruction of a major and honorable part of American history and identity. Our rulers are either happy that this is so or don't realize what they are doing. It would seem that now the only significance of any historical figure is their attitude toward the black race. All of Western civilization is to be trashed because it showed little interest in the black race and took a non-egalitarian attitude when it did. This because of the complaints of people who enjoy all its benefits, but whose only contribution is whining that their group is not flattered enough. What are we to make of a society that replaces Robert E. Lee with George Floyd? Dishonesty, delusion, degeneracy, and contrived hysteria. It would seem that the Confederate monument at Lee's home at Arlington will be destroyed. Good people are laboring hard to prevent it, but who is going to stop it? Certainly not Republicans. Most of our Southern congressmen now are empty suit, cookie cutter, dollar denominated products of the Republican machine. There is hardly even a faint echo of cultural and historical knowledge among them, not to mention integrity or principle. It seems likely that Stone Mountain is next. The Democrat who is to be elected governor of Georgia is pledged to see that. She says the past has to be removed because it does not please her group. Democrats have already perfected the trick of stealing elections. Georgia is now full of carpetbaggers, foreigners, and natives cultivated in wokery. Who will stop the destruction? Certainly not Republicans, who are not a real opposition party, and even if a small victory is won, the battle will have to be fought over and over again until we lose. It seems to me the noble thing we have known as the South, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, is at a place where a last line must be drawn. If we are not to draw the line soon, we are doomed to fade away into a despised little hole as if we had never existed. There are still millions of us, and our heroic past and our congenial living are still admired by a great many people north of the Potomac and Ohio and all around the world. We need a peaceful mass celebration, a celebration, not a protest, to show the world that we are still here and that we are proud of who we are. Such an observance should not be confined only to the Confederacy, but honor all of our Southern life and our real present existence as a people. It should be Southern. All the weird little Yankee fascists and their strange flags and uniforms that distorted Charlottesville should be excluded. Such a celebration will be difficult. Given the lessons of Charlottesville, where officials, law enforcement, and judges colluded with violent BLM and Antifa mobs to suppress a meeting and blame it on the victims. The government at all levels operates now by the communist playbook. Demonize and punish real dissidents and call them terrorists when they defend themselves. Organizing such a movement would take a strong and wise leadership. The government would go all out to suppress or disrupt it and the media to misrepresent it. We would face a near impossible task of negating violent attacks and government provocateurs. It would need to be so large that the wealthy New York communist lawyers and journalists could not effectively target individuals for punishment. In my dreams, I can picture 50,000 solemn, peaceful, well-dressed men physically defending Stone Mountain, who after a time would burst into Dixie. Perhaps one reenactor unit with flags. Our people should be discouraged at waving too many flags, which looks like a circus rather than a serious statement of a people. Our African-American countrymen of goodwill should be welcome. The Hunley funeral celebration and the more recent peaceful pro-gun rally in Richmond might give helpful suggestions of how it can be done possibly, but alas, such a thing is no longer possible. The government would suppress it with the army if necessary. If you expect any of our Southern Republican governors or very many of our Southern Republican congressmen to defend us, I have some valuable property in the Santee Swamp that I can sell you. Our cause has been repeatedly damaged by people fighting the enemy on his own ground. Negative defensiveness. Being Southern is a good thing and to be celebrated. Perhaps we should think in terms of a dispersed celebration with 10,000 men and women at the Capitol or other location in each state. The testimony of 140,000 people celebrating Dixie or even a multitude of simultaneous local events with Southern food and music and Confederate memorials. If not us, who? And if not now, when? This was written by Clyde Wilson, who I'm not familiar with, but I couldn't agree more. And that brings me to my guest today. I have with me Mr. Mark Tomey, representing the League of the South. And Mark, can you hear me, sir?
I sure can, Steve.
Great, Mark. How would you respond to that? Does that, I mean, being Southern's a good thing, ain't it, brother? I mean, I just love this land. This is where
I'm sitting here in my office this morning. I'm looking out the window, and I'm watching the flag of the state of Alabama and the Confederate battle flag flutter on the flagpole being wafted by a gentle southern breeze, and it's a glorious day to be a Southerner.
Amen, brother. I wear the flag often, and I got a comment the other day that, well, but you don't believe what everybody says that flag represents. It's been demonized and twisted and distorted just the same way our history has been distorted and lied about. You know, it just, and let me toss it to you, sir. Just, you're trying to do something about this. You think we should secede again. It's like, and even if not politically in a nation state, in our mind, you know, to build our own system, to make these criminals irrelevant.
Oh, absolutely. And, one of the things that we've been saying in the league since our inception is that the first step is for you as an individual to secede from the Yankee Empire, to withdraw your allegiance from the U.S. government, to stop flying the federal flag, to stop pledging allegiance, and getting teary-eyed at their national song, and so on and so forth. Stop sending your sons and daughters to fight and die for an empire that hates them in its military. You have to do just pull your children out of the public schools and homeschool, or send them to a good private school that you've vetted well enough to know that it doesn't covet the state's imprimatur and uses the state's curriculum and just uses the name Christian or Catholic or private as a mere smokescreen for just a watered down version of the same thing they would get in the public school system. So it requires some work, it requires some effort, it requires some sacrifice. But you'd be surprised at how great it makes you feel once you begin to make those kinds of choices and live them out in your day-to-day life. And if enough of our people will secede personally, then it's only a matter of time until the South will once again be able to secede politically and reestablish herself as an independent republic, with laws that reflect our own particular worldview, and that will ensure our peace and prosperity for ourselves and our posterity.
Yes, sir. Being Southern is a good thing. It's been caricatured so much in the media that, we're just ignorant hillbillies and violent, deliverance and all that. But man, you come down South and find out for yourself. People here are hospitable. They're kind and they're honorable. They still try to keep their word, at least some of them. I'm proud to be from here. I've never left Dixie, honestly. I don't know if I'll ever get to travel around, but I was raised the dark corner hillbilly, basically. That glassy mountain rock and hogback, that's home to me. I see that up in the distance and I get that teary-eyed feeling. That's it's not the flag anymore that does it, the American flag, but just home. This is my home and I really want to preserve it. I feel like we're under attack everywhere, in the media, locally. The elections are being stolen. I mean, and as long as people are able to create money from nothing and charge interest on it, they just can attack you every which way. We can't really fight against that. I think that the only solution is to separate from it and create a separate system. I don't know how that's going to work or how it's going to happen, but these are the kind of things that you're talking about that have to be done to start with, I believe. And we have to secede, as you said, in our mind first and value the things that make us valuable, to promote and encourage them amongst ourselves more than to fight against them. If we could make them irrelevant, I'd be so happy. Just turn our backs and walk away.
And that's the key to it, is making them irrelevant. And, to circle back to a couple things that you mentioned in your comments, number one, about the stereotype that's popular in the media of your average Southerner is, the toothless, ignorant redneck. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the opposite is true. For example, I have an uncle back in Arkansas who rose to be executive vice president of Tyson Food Corporation. And he told a story one time of when they were going, when Tyson was finally going to break out of the region of northwest Arkansas, southern Missouri, Oklahoma, and wanted to start going nationwide. And this was back in the 70s, I think it was. And he told the story of how they went to New York to visit with people from Chase Manhattan Bank to see if they could secure a loan to expand their operations. And he said they had to endure about 10 or 15 minutes of these New York Yankee bankers making fun of them about whether they had shoes on, and if they were they brown, and were they still driving horses and buggies in Springdale, Arkansas, and so forth. And finally, my uncle said, I leaned across the table and looked one of them right square in the eye and said, let me tell you something, fella. Just because I talk slow doesn't mean I think slow. And he said at that point, their attitude changed completely. you know. And another friend of mine from Tennessee said in a lecture he was giving one time, he said, you know, we hear the popular phrase Yankee ingenuity always being batted about. He said, the hell with Yankee ingenuity. Those people have hardly ever come up with anything. He said, let's talk about Southern ingenuity. He said, our people have been doing more with less longer than most people care to remember. We can make something out of nothing. And, you know, it's been of necessity. So we're a very industrious, very ingenious, very hardworking, creative people. Some of the finest art and literature and music has been created by Southern people. There's nothing small about our contribution to the world stage. There's absolutely nothing small about the reality of our own culture and our own society and our own way of life. It's something that we should be proud of and relish. It's not something that we should be ashamed of, because we so badly want to be seen as good Americans, and that we're willing to believe all the lies that the system tells about us. You know, it's time to stand up and say, no, we're not going to believe the lies anymore. I know the truth because I've seen it in my grandparents, I've seen it in my parents, and now I see it in myself, and I want it for my children and my grandchildren.
That's what it's all about, too. That's exactly how I feel. I consider doing more with less. That's Confederate engineering right there, man. That is what this world needs now.
Well, look at the history of the war itself. You know, the first electronically exploding mine was developed by the South. That's how we sunk ships in the Yazoo River during the Siege of Vicksburg. The first submarine to ever sink an enemy warship was developed and deployed by the Confederacy. You know, a lot of technological innovations that occurred during the War for Southern Independence came from the South. So again, you know, and in the postbellum period, you know, if it weren't for us helping the Yankee Empire do its thing, then there would be no Yankee Empire. You know, especially when it comes to their imperialistic military exploits. I mean, it's Southern sons and daughters who go around the world killing people and breaking things for the Yankee Empire. I think the last statistic that I saw indicates that somewhere in the neighborhood of 2/3 of all of the U.S. military is made up of people from the South. If we didn't go fight their damn wars for them, they wouldn't be able to do it. They're blue blood boys.
Well, I'm sorry, Mark, I hear the music coming up. Okay, hold that thought, folks. We'll be right back after the break.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure. Just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
417-932-6419. Hey! Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Thought Crime Live on republicbroadcasting.org, and my guest is Mark Tomey from the League of the South. Sorry the break cut you off there. Mark, would you like to go back to what you were saying there? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'll just finish my thought by saying that, you know, as far as Southerners, you know, sacrificing themselves for the empire, is that, you know, I would love for us to be able to get our people to break the cycle of fighting for the wrong people and for the wrong things. And every time a Southern boy or a Southern girl, sadly, goes off to enlist in the Yankee military, they're fighting for the wrong people and the wrong thing. And we need to stop that. You know, the English used the Irish and the Scots as mercenaries for hundreds of years during the height of their imperial exploits. And the United States does the same thing to the South and to Southerners, and we need to stop doing that just the way the Irish and the Scots did. We've got to decide that the only people worth fighting and dying for are ourselves.
I agree completely, sir. My father was one of Merrill's Marauders during World War II, and he gave me the book War is a Racket when I was 11 and told me pretty much the same thing, just didn't put it exactly that way, but he tried to instill that in me when I was growing up. And before we go to our callers, Mark, I wanted to let the listeners know what's going to happen next Saturday and let them know that you and I actually have met in person before back in July at a similar event at this, it was called the Dixie Fest then. And would you like to talk about that a little bit, sir?
Yeah, it was a great event back in July. The one that's coming up a week from today is going to be called Fall for Dixie, quite appropriately, since we're in the midst of the fall season of the year. And in keeping with the tone of the article that you read at the beginning of the show, this is somebody who's doing exactly what Dr. Wilson suggested, is giving people a place to go where they can celebrate who they are and share their aspirations of who they want to become, you know, as a people. And it's a great opportunity for anybody who still has that little glowing ember of love for their Southern heritage and for their Southern homeland to come and be around like-minded people and just enjoy some good fellowship, some good music, some great food. I know you're going to be doing your radio show there, so there'll be an opportunity to hear folks like you and me and others talking about these kind of things over the airwaves. It's a great family event, and anybody who can make it to Travelers Rest, South Carolina, this coming Saturday, I would encourage you to do so.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Mike Gaddy will be there too. He will be doing his show live as well, and we hope to have the three of us and possibly more broadcast on a different on the Podbean network, American National Radio, from 7 to 10 that evening too. That's what we planned, and I mean it was. I felt like I had come home for Christmas back in July. It was just terrific.
Oh, yeah.
So I look forward to seeing anyone there. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's great to be around your own people, you know, folks who share your love and passion for your land and your culture and your history, and who have a vision for its future. You know, what can be a bright and prosperous future if we can simply convince enough of our fellow Southerners that being part of this corrupt, debauched, evil U.S. empire is going to kill us. You know, we have to separate ourselves from this. There is no reforming this empire. They have the rules rigged in their favor. You know, voting Republican is not going to help. I mean, when have they ever conserved anything? As Stonewall Jackson's chaplain, the Reverend Robert Louis Dabney, observed back in the late 1800s when it came to the push for women to be allowed to vote, he said that this is a party that's never conserved anything. You know, it's merely the shadow that follows radicalism towards perdition. So they're not going to save us. They're not our friends. They've proven that they're not our friends. They're just as much behind all of this anti-Southern nonsense as the Antifas and the BLM people are, because they're afraid they're going to get called an ugly name. And, oh, heaven forbid that I be called an ugly name, you know. And I don't know about you, Steve, but when I was in kindergarten, I remember learning a little rhyme that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, it's amazing how, as we mature into adulthood, we seem to forget that.
Yes, yeah, it amazes me how everything I really needed to learn in life I should have learned in kindergarten. You know, don't run with the scissors. If you use it, take care of it, put it back where it goes, and treat each other with kindness and respect. You know, that's what it all boils down to in this life. As long as I can, I do try to do that. And
yeah,
and it's not, they're going to call us a hate group. You know, you're hate. This is hate. This isn't about hate, people. This is about love. This is about loving ourselves and loving our children and our grandchildren enough to provide a future for them. We'll be right back after the break and go to calls, y'all.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia. Excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Welcome back, everyone. I wanted to let that play through. I just love that song, Ride the Wind Before It's Gone. You're listening to Thought Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. I'm Stephen Douglas White, and your host. I have Mark Tomey from the League of the South as my guest today. And Mark, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go to callers? We got a couple of them on hold.
No, I think we've laid the groundwork.
All right. Yes, sir.
Calls, and then maybe that'll take us in a slightly different direction.
Yes, sir. All right, first we have Marcus in Idaho. Marcus, can you hear me, sir? You have a question for Mark?
Yes, sir. No, I don't necessarily have a question for Mark. I want to say that my ancestors are on both sides of the aisle, from the north and the south, and I've got a lot of respect for both sides, so taking down statues is not something that I am fine with. I am actually angry about that. What I want to say is, the callers on the last Farron show were talking about people eating bugs, what they were complaining about the whole thing and talking about what this and that, but they weren't talking about the ownership and the people which are saying, you've got to eat the bugs. And that's what we really need to focus on is the people that are saying to us, the people that are pushing this upon us. Those are the people which need to be destroyed. And those are the people which we need to find out who they are and actually take them out. I'm not saying shoot them in the head. I'm saying take our judicial system back, because we've got people like Amy Coney Barrett, which is not going to do anything for us. So take the people out which have owned our country, like the FBI now, which has ownership over our country, and return the country to a sanity, and return the world to a sanity. Right now, we've got people which organizations huge organizations which think they can own everybody and are pushing things on things, including our FBI, including our DOJ, and including many other NGOs and people like George Soros, which are pushing things upon the people which are going to be totally detrimental. And they're not being called out. They're not being, on a general way, being crushed. And we need to crush these organizations and people that are trying to crush us.
Mark?
Well, I agree, Marcus. And I think this is the reason why, ultimately, the idea of secession and independence makes so much sense compared to trying to fight the system from within the system, by the system's rules, with the system's people sitting in the seats of power. You're not going to be able to accomplish any effective change against these people by playing by their rules and using their system, because they own it and control it. So ultimately, in order to defeat these people, you have to withdraw yourself from their system and create a new one of your own that they are not allowed to have any control or influence over. In my opinion, they're too deeply entrenched within the U.S. system now. You know, the International Jewish Banking Cartel, under the guise of the Federal Reserve, owns and controls the U.S. government, like they do many other governments around the world. As Mayor Rothschild was famously said in England many years ago, give me control of a nation's money supply and I care not who writes its laws.
Right now, what we need to do is these people have utter control over a system. Taking, for instance, like they put Steve Bannon in jail, they're going to try to put President Trump in jail, and they had that huge judgment against Alex Jones. They have done this purposely. Saying if you say anything about what we've done stealing your elections in America, we're going to destroy you. And that they have absolute control right now over our system. We need to break the back of the control and then put in place something which can not only regulate, but it has the power to take away these people which are not humane in the basic sense of who they are. I'm not saying that I want a Republican versus Democrat power structure. I want somebody who has a humane value system, the basic system that America is founded on, in place. And right now we do not have that inside of our system. It has been broken for the last 15 years.
Yeah, no, you don't. And people like Trump and Bannon and all the people who are being persecuted for the January 6th thing, see, they all still have faith in a system that is rigged to destroy them. And you can't allow yourself to be sucked into that system. As I've heard Dr. Hill say, who's president of the league, I've heard him say many times over the years, you know, if they're going to make you an outlaw, then play the outlaw. We need to develop a network of safe houses and places where people can go and not be sucked into this system.
Yes, exactly.
To be thrown into a dungeon, never to be heard from again, and to have everything they ever had taken away from them. You have to, and at some point, in self-defense, and let me make that very clear, in self-defense, at some point, we will have to start putting bullets in some of these people's heads, because they're going to come after us with that intent on their own part. They're going to be coming to murder.
They're not going to change. They're not going to change.
No
matter how much information you give to them, they will they will continue to hate and destroy people. That is what they have learned to do.
Exactly. So again, you have to work to create a system that allows you to escape them, and then if they come after you, then you defend yourself.
Well, you know, it just seems like this whole thing, it was a criminal enterprise from the beginning. You talked about these people as our owners. They see themselves as our owners, that we are their property. Any nation that allows a foreign entity to fund it by design eventually becomes the property and the slave of that entity that's funding it. If we don't, we have to do this for ourselves. There is no resolving this system. I believe we have to create a new and better one, and that's the only solution. And I don't know how that'll happen, but I really appreciate the call, Marcus. Thank you very much for listening. And Mr. Mike Gaddy goes over the details of how this thing began, the real history, very much on his show Rebel Madman Radio this afternoon at 3 p.m. Central. And I want to reiterate the event that's going to happen next Saturday. It's just I'll go over read the email about it. It says, "Hi there, Dixie Republic fans. Y'all are invited for our Fall for Dixie party on Saturday, October the 29th. Bands play from 1 to 4 and 5 to 8. A food, bounce house, axe throwing. Oh, the General Lee car from Dukes of Hazzard's going to be there, too. A bonfire and more. Yeah, since it's right before Halloween, we encourage you to wear a costume, although it's definitely not required. Trick-or-treaters are welcome. Sonny will be offering burgers, hot dogs, barbecue, and more. Plus, we'll have a vendor serving fresh boiled peanuts, a Southern delight. Bring a chair, bring your own BYOB, and plan to have an enjoyable time. Old-timer or new to the South and Dixie, we offer you an opportunity to meet others who appreciate living in the South. And we know it's never too early to get a start on Christmas. They talk about the stuff. They said Dixie Republic is proud to offer local honey, a delicious another local vendor. And, you know, it was a great time, y'all. If you enjoy this show, if you're a freedom-loving person, if you can be there, you will have a great time. And let me go to our next caller. We have Charlie in Florida. Hello, Charlie. How you doing, sir?
Hello, Stephen. I really appreciate your show today, because this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the South. I wanted to get back on that topic, if that would be all right. I wanted to share a link that's on YouTube with everybody. Now, YouTube, you may have heard of this link before, and I'm sure your guest may perhaps has, but it's Abbeville Institute on YouTube. It's all about the Southern history and our traditions. And any of the videos on there by it goes into the history. I remember years. Are you familiar with this site?
I am not.
So. Matter of fact, I am personally acquainted with Professor Clyde Wilson and Professor Donald Livingston. They were longtime members of the League of the South.
Yes, I'm sure they were. And I'm glad to hear you speaking today. I remember when I first found this site, the Abbeville Institute, on YouTube. I would suggest anybody go there. There's hundreds of hours of listening that you can go through there. And on traditions of the South and what the South was like and where we are as Southerners, you know, which is, I remember when I first went there years ago and I was listening to some of these videos by Dr. Livingston and stuff, and I remember it was like I was coming home for the first time. You know, it just washed over me like a wave. It was just incredible.
I know the feeling. For many years before I became a Southern nationalist, you know, there was always, I remember growing up, you know, I would watch these old movies about the quote-unquote Civil War, and there was always something inside of me that just instinctively told me to root for the boys wearing gray and waving that battle flag. And as I grew into adulthood, there were still these thoughts emotions inside of me that said, you know, there's something special about the South and being a Southerner. And when I was introduced to the League of the South and began to read some of the literature that they were putting out and see what their goals and aspirations were for a free South at some point in the future, I mean, it's like somebody who's been in a dark room all their life and suddenly the light gets turned on. And you can't describe the feeling that comes over you to say, this is what I've been looking for years now. You know, now I understand all these feelings and emotions that I had and all these thoughts that I had growing up about who I am and where I'm from. It all coalesced just instantaneously. And at that point, I knew this is the course that I have to pursue. This is an organization I have to be part of because they're working for the something that I want to.
Yes, that's how I felt. As a matter of fact, there were times when I actually cried listening to some of this stuff on here because it brought me to tears. It was such an awakening for me. It was like you said, it was coming back home. It was spiritual. There was something higher there going on. And so I wanted to share this link. It's ABBEVILLE, Abbeville Institute, and it's on YouTube. And I suggest to anybody that's interested in the South or wants to know more about our history, that's a good one for them to go there, as well as your link to your organization as well. And you can find just hundreds and hundreds of hours about the South, including everything from the war against Lincoln to even which maybe Stephen might be interested in the history of Muscle Shoals as far as music Donald Horton and all that stuff. You know, it goes, they get into everything on this channel, but it's very, very, very good. And I really appreciate y'all's topic today because it's something that has been dear to my heart forever. And, as far as succession goes, I would like to just add a few comments there. Let's not forget that we succeeded in the Civil War, and it was legal. But succession was legal at the time, but Lincoln declared it that it was illegal for us to succeed. In other words, he lied. And that's how we came to Civil War. I don't know if succession will ever work in this country because of the people that are in control, but I certainly believe in our hearts we have to succeed first and we have to recognize our true heritage, and then perhaps we can work on succession again. But the South was years ahead of the North at the time of the Civil War, something else you brought up. We had more educational systems. We had more higher level of wealth, and they destroyed all that, you see. Sherman and all those people, they did everything they could to destroy us. And we should all remember all that. Our history is very important.
Good friend of mine from back in Louisiana, Donnie Kennedy, who he and his brother wrote the book, The South Was Right. One of the things that he pointed out in that book was that before the war, Mississippi was the wealthiest state in the Union. And,
that's right.
And since or it's been the poorest state in the Union.
That's
now,
right.
Why do you think that is? You know,
yeah, that was by design.
Exactly. It's by design. We are, the South is viewed by the rest, by the powers that be who own and control the U.S. system as the conquered province that we are.
That's correct.
We're not really Americans to them. We're their cannon fodder, as I was mentioning before. We're their tax slaves. You know, we're the ones who do all the working and the dying and the tax paying and everything to support their dadgum empire. It's the same story as it was in the 1860s. You know, we can continue to be the economic and political slaves of people who absolutely despise us and want to see us wiped off the face of the earth, or we can stand up like free men, tell them to go straight to hell, and reestablish ourselves as an independent country once again. Now, those are your choices, people. You can lay down and die, or you can stand up like a free man and take back your inheritance. What's it going to be?
Yeah, I'm with
you. Amen.
100%.
I would say the only legitimate document I recognized anymore as the Declaration of Independence, and it gives us instructions as to what to do when events are as they are now. And thanks so much for the call, Charlie. I really appreciate you listening and your correspondence as well. And I have some other callers, though. Thanks again. I would like to go to James in Vancouver next. James, how are you, sir? James, are you there, sir? Hi, James. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yes. Yeah, I'd just like to welcome your guest to the show and share with you my heritage. My great-grandfather fought for the Confederacy, and I was shown his saber in 1959 by my great-aunt in Pasadena, California. Now, the adage, they say, is history always repeats itself. So I just want to offer that with all the pressures that are going on. And I believe that whole Charlottesville thing was a fake. It was done on purpose to discredit the people of the South. And many other operations have been done like that. It even goes back to the Civil Rights Movement, where these operations are done and then they're put on television by the media, who are poisoning the minds of the people. So I just want to let
They only show you what they want you to see, too. Two quick anecdotes in relation to that civil rights stuff. The FedEx driver who used to deliver to my office grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. His father was a police officer under Eugene Bull Connor. And he and I got into a little conversation one day about the goings-on in Birmingham back in the early 60s, and he said, everything that you see about that on the news or in documentaries is all bull. And then the other one, I've got a good friend who was born and raised in Selma, Alabama, and she was a teenager during the time that all that was going on there, and she said, believe you me, once again, everything you see on these historical documentaries is nothing but lies. The stuff that was really going on, they don't want to tell you because then it would paint that side in the bad light that it deserves.
Right.
So, yeah. James, thanks so much for the call. I've got a lot of callers stacked up. I really appreciate you, my friend. And next, I'd like to go to Dan in Washington. Hi, Dan. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I do support the League of the South a little bit. I get kind of irritated with this term Yankee. You know, if you grew up west of the Mississippi, they call you a Yankee, and there's different ways white people were divided. I think the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. So I wish the South would. The Civil War was really about slavery and the South, and that's the Missouri Compromise proves that. So, the South was never really, it was always basically a slave plantation, and the Jews had more power in the South than the North. So, that's just the reality. The South was used as cannon fodder for cheap labor for Jews for the most part. And, I don't know. It's America's changed so much, this whole Yankee Southern thing. I just think it needs to go, I don't have much respect for the antebellum South at all. I just look at it like Beverly Hills, California, like people that don't want to cut their own grass, mow their own lawn, or pay people very well. And those black slaves were used against poor white laborers, by your rich elite to basically keep your wages low and, screw people over. That's why, there's just some realities there that are just truth that, I don't know. That's just my opinion on it.
With all due respect, you're parroting the pabulum of lies that's been presented against the South for a century and a half now. It was a relatively small percentage. If you look at the 1860 census figures, only 10% of Southerners were slave owners. The vast majority of Southerners in the antebellum period were what you would call independent yeoman farmers. They were people who owned their own land, worked their own land, and made a living off of it without the use of any kind of slave labor whatsoever. Slavery was basically confined to the large plantation systems along the Mississippi River and in the Deep South.
But the Missouri Compromise, they wanted to keep slavery in Texas and California. And I'll let the other callers get on, but I just think that's, and mostly the slave owners were Jewish, so that just kind of shows my point that, you know, the average Southern white guy was a poor guy.
Thanks for the call, Dan. I'm sorry we're running out of time, folks. I really apologize to the callers who I didn't get to. Thank you so much for being on with me, Mark. I look forward to seeing you again next week in the event that we're going to have in Traveler's Rest at Fall for Dixie. I apologize to Mike in Kentucky, at Tom, Utah, and Danny in Tennessee that I wasn't able to get to your calls this week. But thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you y'all calling in. And Mark, how can people find the League of the South?
Online, just type in www.leagueofthesouth.com, and that'll take you to our website. And as our friend from Florida mentioned earlier, you can spend hours there going through all of the position papers and other literature and articles and things that we've written over the years to find out who we are and what we're all about.
Thanks again, Mark. Listen, we'll be back next week. Remember, folks, a thought crime a day helps keep tyranny away. Thank you for listening. And support RBN.
Biden announced pardons for marijuana possession. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Yesterday, Biden announced pardons for citizens convicted federally of possession of marijuana or convicted in Washington, D.C. Pardons do not apply to any other offense or to non-citizens. Biden also urged governors to do the same in their state. This mass pardon event might be a political stunt, something of an October surprise, but it also might be the best thing Biden has done. This is a prison release that I can actually get behind. I don't think anyone should be in prison for a nonviolent, victimless crime. Although an administration official said that there was currently nobody in federal prison solely for possession of marijuana, I'm sure the 6,500 people with federal convictions on the record appreciate pardons. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.